Blog Talk Radio.
Come to thee. ye sinners, poor and needy, bruised and broken by the
come the fount.
Amen, amen. Good evening, brothers and sisters, and thank you for joining us this evening for the Great Controversy Study. I will go ahead and open with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we come, Lord, to you just as we are, broken, wretched, poor, miserable, blind, Lord. And only you can help us, Lord. Only you can direct us. Only you can heal the brokenness, O Father. Only you can restore our health. Father, I thank you for each and every one that's joining us and those that will be joining us, Lord. I ask that you will bless them in the mark with it. I ask that you will give us wisdom and understanding in the reading, O Father, to apply to our lives, to our circumstances. And we know, Lord, those things that happened in the past will happen again, and many are happening now, Lord. We thank you for your word, O Father, that you have given us so that we will not lose hope, Father, so that our when we are sad, when we're sick, O Lord, when we're in distress, Lord, we can call upon you knowing that you will hear us, you will answer us, and you will heal us and restore us, O Lord. Bless us this evening. Bless the reader in a mark way. Fill him with your Holy Spirit, Lord. Give him wisdom and understanding, Lord, into what he's reading, O Lord. And we thank you, Father. We glorify, we magnify your name, Lord. We praise you for who you are, Father, because you are worthy to be praised. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray with thanksgiving and honor. Amen. Amen. So I'll open the line for Sister Norma. I'll open your line so you can go ahead and give us a song of meditation. And after you're finished, you can also give us a word of prayer. Amen. Your line is open.
Amen. Are you hearing me?
Yes, we can hear you.
Good evening, everyone. Okay, good evening. All right, my song this evening is called Hover on Me, Holy Spirit. Hover on me, Holy Spirit, bear my trembling heart and brow. Fill me with thy hallowed presence. Come, O come and fill me now. Fill me now, fill me now. Jesus, come and fill me now. Fill me with thy hallowed presence. Come, O come and fill me now. Thou canst fill me, gracious Spirit, though I cannot tell thee how. But I need thee, greatly need thee. Come, oh come and fill me now. Fill me now, fill me now. Jesus, come and fill me now. Fill me with thy hallowed presence. Come, oh come and fill me now. I am weakness, full of weakness. At thy sacred feet I bow. Bless divine eternal Spirit, fill with love and fill me now. Fill me now, fill me now. Jesus, come and fill me now. Fill me with thy hallowed presence. Come, O come and fill me now. Cleanse and call. comfort, bless, and save me, bed. Oh, bed my heart and brow. Thou art comforting and saving, thou art sweetly filling now. Fill me now, fill me now. Jesus, come and fill us now. Fill us with your Holy Spirit. Come, oh, come and fill us now. Amen. Kind, loving Father, as we come before you this evening in no other name but in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, asking you, Lord, to please forgive us of anything, dear Lord, not of, Lord, so many things, dear God, in our life that is not like you. And we pray, oh God, that you will come. You said that you will come and send your Holy Spirit to dwell in and among us. Be with the presenter this evening. I pray that you will hide him behind your cross and that you will be seen. I pray that souls will be blessed and lives will be changed, dear God, and give us the knowledge, dear Lord, that we need to understand what is going to be presented. We thank you and we praise you for this opportunity. Dear God, is my prayer. In Jesus' name with thanksgiving. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Sister Norma. Amen. Okay. Amen. Again, I just want to welcome each and every one of my brothers and sisters this evening for the Great Controversy reading. Amen. And please be attentive. Have your notepad and your Great Controversy books and your pen to take notes, and you know, we might come to a point where there's question or you know, but we'll see. But this is for you, and you know, be able to share with others and to study with others and to teach them too, because we're all admonished to teach and to preach and to you know, be able to pray and to do the work that God has you know, created us to do. And now go ahead and open the line for our reader, Brother Wilson. He's been doing such a great job with Elder Richardson along. So, but before I open Brother Wilson line, I'll open Elder Richardson line first, so he can speak to us before the reading. Amen. Your line is open, Elder Wilson. I'm sorry, Elder Richardson.
Thank you. Thank you so much. I just want to thank everybody to who have come on the line. I pray blessings upon us as our brother brings the reading. I pray our hearts will be blessed. And he's going to call the page and the chapter of the where he's going to begin from. So please listen carefully to the page and the chapter. Okay, so at this time, I introduce Brother Wilson as he brings the study for us. Thank you.
Amen. Amen. Brother Wilson, your line is now open.
Okay. Thank you, sis. Thank you very much.
Amen.
Can you hear me clearly?
Yes. Yes. Amen.
Okay. All right. No problem. I was going to say a quick word of prayer for the reading. I know we can't really be quick when we're under the inspiration of Christ, but I let the Holy Spirit lead as I pray. So I apologize for the word quick. All right. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your mercy and grace. I pray, Lord, that you take full control of my mind and my heart and my mouth, my tongue, everything about me, Lord. Please remove anything that's not like you from me. And I'm praying that you fill me with your Holy Spirit. Please be my guide, be my teacher, be my instructor. And I'm praying that you do the same thing with each and every soul that's listening. Bless us in a special way. We thank you and we love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, so we are on chapter 14 of the Great Controversy. We are actually almost finished. And we're going to start. This is the chapter 14. Later English Reformers, and we are going to start on page 263, paragraph 3. And for those who have that version, this is the older version, but 263, paragraph 3. And it actually starts with the the words, the most surprising of all circumstances. Because I just ended last week on the paragraph where it says, in the highest rank of the enemies of the gospel of Christ, said Wesley, are they who openly and explicitly judge the law itself and speak evil of the law, who teach men to break, to dissolve, to loose, to untie the obligation of. Not one only, whether of the least or the greatest, but all the commandments at a stroke. So that's where I ended last week, and I'm going to begin at page 263, paragraph 3. All right. And it begins by saying, the most surprising of all the circumstances that attend this strong delusion is that they who are given up to it really believe that they honor Christ by overthrowing his law, and that they are magnifying his office while they are destroying his doctrine. Yea, they honor him just as Judas did when he said, Hail, Master, and kissed him. And he may as justly say to every one of them, Betrayest thou the Son of Man with a kiss? It is no other than betraying him with a kiss to talk of his blood and take away his crown, to set light by any part of his law under pretense of advancing his gospel. Nor indeed can anyone escape this charge who preaches faith in any such a manner as either directly or indirectly tends to set aside any branch of obedience, who preaches Christ so as to disannul or weaken in any wise the least of the commandments of God. I pause for a moment. This is what's been going on for years. Many scoffers, many people, even the Catholics of the Catholic faith, the hierarchy in the Catholic Church, as well as some Protestant believers, will say that the law of God is done away with. And we're going to read a little bit more when we see with Wesley and the stance that he took, and how the Bible complements one another, the commandments, the love of Christ. We see how the Bible is in harmony. So we're going to read a little bit more. I continue. It says, to those who urged that the preaching of the gospel answers all the ends of the law, Wesley replied, this we utterly deny. It does not answer the very first end of the law, namely, the convincing men of sin, the awakening those who are still asleep on the brink of hell. The Apostle Paul declares that by the law is the knowledge of sin. And not until man is convicted of sin will he truly feel his need of the atoning blood of Christ. They that behold, as our Lord himself observes, need not a physician, but they that are sick. It is absurd, therefore, to offer a physician to them that are whole, or that at least imagine themselves so to be. You are first convince them that they are sick. Otherwise, they will not thank you for your labor. Equally absurd to offer Christ to them whose heart is whole, having never yet been broken. Have mercy. So I pause. So it explains itself. So the law, it convicts, it shows us what sin is, but it's the Holy Spirit that does the convincing, that does the transformation. But we have to be convicted of sin. We have to see our need of Christ. And that's what the law does. It points us to Christ. It shows us our wretched condition, because of it says, thou shalt not. It points to the love of God and the love of Christ. And Christ is the one that does the transforming in the heart. Okay, so we need to understand that we do need a Savior. I continue. It says, thus while preaching the gospel of the grace of God, Wesley, like his master, sought to magnify the law and make it honorable. Faithfully did he accomplish the work given him of God. and glorious were the results which he was permitted to behold. At the close of his long life of more than 40 years, above half a century spent in itinerant ministry. And I pause that word itinerant. It means traveling from place to place, just like the disciples, just like Christ. Travel from place to place is going to be the same thing that we're going to be doing in these last days. And even now, God's going to have us where we're going to be traveling from place to place, presenting the three angels message and also the health message, which we have to proclaim in these last days. I continue. So it says, his avowed adherents numbered more than 500,000 souls. But the multitude that through his labors had been lifted from the ruin and degradation of sin to a higher and a pure life, and the number who by his teaching had attained to a deeper and richer experience, will never be known till the whole family of the redeemed shall be gathered into the kingdom of God. Praise the Lord. His life presents a lesson of priceless worth to, with that, the faith and humility, the untiring zeal, self-sacrifice, and devotion of this servant of Christ might be reflected in the churches of today. I pause. So we're going to transition. We see how faithful Brother Wesley was. And with humility, with faith, with zeal, self-sacrifice, and this is the spirit of Christ. And I want this. I want this holy zeal. And I pray that we all may have this holy zeal and be humble in the process, have the love of Christ. So when people see us, they see Christ. We're going to transition to chapter 15, and this is the Bible and the French Revolution. I continue. In the 16th century, the Reformation, presenting an open Bible to the people, had sought admission to all the countries of Europe. Some nations welcome it with gladness as a messenger of heaven. In other lands, the papacy succeeded to a great extent in preventing its entrance. And the light of the Bible and the light of Bible knowledge with its elevating influences was almost wholly excluded. In one country, though the light found entrance, it was comprehended by the darkness. For centuries, truth and error struggled for the mastery. At last, the evil triumphed, and the truth of heaven was thrust out. This is the condemnation that light is coming to the world, and men love darkness rather than light. And that's taken from John 3, verse 19. It says the nation was left to reap the results of the course which she had chosen. The restraint of God's Spirit was removed from a people that has despised the gift of his grace. Evil was permitted to come to maturity, and all the world saw the fruits of willful of light. I pause. We see in society that we are not far from this. Evil is coming to maturity. We see that wickedness is running rampant in the world. When we see they're pushing for vaccines that can kill people, might not be immediately, but very slowly, where these vaccines can also control and alter the mind, where we may not want to feel our need for Christ. These are some things that they're doing called the fun vax. Look it up. I continue. It says the war against the Bible carried forward for so many centuries in France, culminated in the scenes of the Revolution. That terrible outbreaking was but the legitimate result of Rome's suppression of the scriptures. It presented the most striking illustration which the world has ever witnessed of the working out of the papal policy. An illustration of the results to which for more than 1,000 years the teaching of the Roman Church had been tending. The suppression of the scriptures during the period of papal supremacy was foretold by the prophet, and the revelator points also to the terrible results that were to accrue, especially to France, from the domination of the man of sin. Said the angel of the Lord, the holy city shall be underfoot 42 months, and I will give power unto my two witnesses. I pause, and you can read that. I believe it's Revelation 11, if I'm not mistaken, it's referring to the Old and the New Testament of the Bible. All right. Also, you can see the law and the testimony. Goes hand in hand. All right. I continue. And they shall prophesy 1,260 days, clothed in sackcloth. And when they shall finish their testimony, the beast that ascended out of the bottomless pit shall make war against them, and shall overcome them and kill them. And their dead bodies shall lie in the street of the great city, which spiritually is called Sodom and Egypt, where also our Lord was crucified. And they that dwell upon the earth shall rejoice over them and make merry, and shall send gifts one to another, because these two prophets tormented them that dwell on the earth. And after 3.5 days, the spirit of life from God entered into them. And they stood upon their feet. The great fear fell upon them which saw them. And this is found in Revelation 11, verse 2 to 11. The periods here mention 42 months and 1,260 days are the same, alike representing the time in which the Church of Christ was to suffer oppression from Rome. The 1,260 years of papal supremacy began in AD 538 and would therefore terminate in 1798. At that time, a French army entered Rome and made the Pope a prisoner, and he died in exile. Though a new pope was soon afterward elected, the papal hierarchy has never since been able to wield the power which it before possessed. The persecution of the church did not continue throughout the entire period of the 1260 years. God, in his mercy to his people, cut short the time of their fiery trial. I pause. Just like it was in the past, where God, in his mercy, he cut short the time of the fiery trial, is going to be repeated. We're going to go through a time of trouble such as never was. But praise be the Lord, we're going to be sealed by God's grace. We will not be harmed during that time of the major trouble, the time of Jacob's trouble, but there will be martyrs prior to that. But may we be faithful no matter which category we're in, whether we are alive during that time of the great trouble or not. May we be found faithful. God will cut things short in righteousness. I continue. In foretelling the great tribulation to befall the church, the Savior said, except those days should be shortened, there shall no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. Matthew 24, verse 22. Through the influence of the Reformation, the persecution was brought to an end prior to 1798. Concerning the two witnesses, the prophet declares further, these are the two olive trees and the two candlesticks standing before the God of the earth. Thy word, said the psalmist, is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Praise God. Revelation 11, verse 4, Psalms 119, verse 105. The two witnesses represent, here we go, my friends, the two witnesses represent the scriptures of the Old and the New Testament. Both are important testimonies to the origin and perpetuity of the law of God. Both are witnesses also to the plan of salvation. The types, sacrifices and the prophecies of the Old Testament points forward to a Savior to come. The Gospel and Epistles of the New Testament tell of a Savior who has come in the exact manner foretold by type and prophecy. Praise the Lord. They shall prophesy 1,260 days, clothed in sackcloth. During the greater part of this period, God's witnesses remain in a state of obscurity. The papal power sought to hide from the people the word of truth and set before them false witnesses to contradict its testimony. When the Bible was proscribed by religious and secular authority, when its testimony was perverted, and every effort made that men and demons could invent to turn the minds of the people from it, when those who dared proclaim its sacred truths were hunted, betrayed, tortured, buried in dungeon cells, martyred for their faith, or compelled to flee to mountain fastness and to dens and caves of the earth, then the faithful witnesses prophesied in sackcloth. Yet they continued their testimony throughout the entire period of 1260 years. In the darkest times, there were faithful men who loved God's word and were jealous for his honor. To these loyal servants were given wisdom, power, and authority to declare his truth during the whole of this time. I pause. Revelation 18 talks about a group of people. It says the earth will be lighted with his glory. Jesus will pour out his spirit in full measure upon his faithful people. All God is looking for is for faithful men and women of God who is jealous for his honor, and he will grant his people, and I'm praying that we all may be in this group. He will grant us wisdom, power, and authority. He says, greater works will you do in my name. I continue. And if any man will hurt them, fire proceedeth out of their mouth and devoureth their enemies. And if any man will hurt them, he must in this manner be killed. Revelation 11, verse 5. Men cannot with impunity trample upon the word of God. The meaning of this fearful denunciation is set forth in the closing chapter of the Revelation. I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. Revelation 22, verse 18 and 19. I pause. We see the emphasis placed on this. Let's keep saying this. This book, this book, this prophecy. God is letting us know that his word is true, sure, faithful, and it cannot do away with. So we have to hide the word of God in our hearts in these last days because God is serious. This is serious. These plagues, these promises, these things that these warnings that God is saying, this is true, and we have to take this to heart. We don't want to be castaways in these last days. I don't want to be a castaway. I continue. It says, such are the warnings which God has given to guard men against changing in any manner that which he has revealed or commanded. These solemn denunciations apply to all who by their influence lead men to regard lightly the law of God. I pause. This is very solemn, and this speaks to my heart. We don't understand the magnitude, and the Bible says the law is exceeding broad. So it's the little things that we do that can break God's plans. And Lord, have mercy on me. I continue. It says they should cause those to fear and tremble who flippantly declare it a matter of little consequence, whether we obey God's law or not. All who exalt their own opinions above divine revelation, all who change the plain meaning of Scripture to suit their own convenience or for the sake of conforming to the world, are taking upon themselves a fearful responsibility. I pause. This is also talking to the leadership, especially the leadership, the lay people as well, but those who have an influence, a high influence. This is a rebuke to those who try to twist the word of God. And I do not want to fall in by God's grace. Help me, Father, to be obedient and faithful and not find wanting. I continue. The written word, the law of God, will measure the character of every man and condemn all whom this unerring test shall declare wanting. It says, when they shall have finished or finished their testimony, here even the two witnesses were to prophesy, clothed in sackcloth, ended in 1798. As they were approaching the termination of their work in obscurity, war was to be made upon them by the power represented as the beast that ascended out of the bottomless pit. In many of the nations of Europe, the powers that ruled in church and state had for centuries been controlled by Satan through the medium of the papacy. But here is brought to view a new manifestation of satanic power. It had been Rome's policy under a profession of reverence for the Bible to keep it locked up in an unknown tongue and hidden away from the people. Under her rule, the witnesses prophesied clothed in sackcloth. But another power, the beast from the bottomless pit, was to arise to make open a vowed war upon the word of God. Have mercy. The great city in whose streets the witnesses are slain and where their dead bodies lie is spiritually Egypt. Of all nations presented in Bible history, Egypt most boldly denied the existence of the living God and resisted his command. I pause. So we see that in Egypt, just like all those plagues fell upon Egypt, the Egyptians, we're going to see the seven last plagues talked about in Revelation 16. History will be repeated. All right. May God help us not to be amongst those where the plagues will fall upon, but may we be hid in Christ by his grace. I continue. It says, no monarch ever ventured upon more open and high-handed rebellion against the authority of heaven than did the king of Egypt. When the message was brought him by Moses in the name of the Lord, Pharaoh proudly answered, who is Jehovah that I should hearken unto his voice to let Israel go? I know not Jehovah, and moreover, I will not let Israel go. And we see that account in Exodus chapter 5, verse 2. This is atheism, and the nation represented by Egypt would give voice to a similar denial of the claims of the living God and would manifest a like spirit of unbelief and defiance. The great city is also compared spiritually to Sodom. The corruption of Sodom in breaking the law of God was especially manifested in licentiousness. And this sin was also to be preeminent, characteristic of the nation that should fulfill the specifications of this scripture. I pause. Do we see this in the world today? Do we see atheism rising in the United States? Do we see licentiousness arising in the United States with pornography, with you know, the scanty dress. We see more and more religion is a thing of the past. And even with the translation of the Bibles, the NIV, we see that they are trying to do away with the Bible. May we stick to the truth, which is found in Christ. I continue. According to the word of the prophets, then a little before the year 1798, some power of satanic origin and character would rise to make war upon the Bible. And in the land where the testimony of God's two witnesses should thus be silenced, they would manifest the atheism of the Pharaoh and the licentiousness of Sodom. This prophecy has received a more exact and striking fulfillment in the history of France. During the revolution in 1793, the world for the first time heard an assembly of men born and educated in civilization and assuming the right to govern one of the finest of the European nations, uplift their united voice to deny the most solemn truth which man's soul receives, and renounces unanimously the belief and worship of a deity. France is the only nation in the world concerning which the authentic record survives, that as a nation she lifted up her hand in open rebellion against the author of the universe. Have mercy. Plenty of blasphemers, plenty of infidels, there have been and still continue to be in England, Germany, Spain, and elsewhere. But France stands apart in the world's history as a single state which, by decree of her legislative assembly, pronounced that there was no God, and of which the entire population of the capital and a vast majority elsewhere, women as well as men, dance and sing with joy in accepting the announcement. Lord, have mercy on those individuals. I continue. France presented also the characteristics which especially distinguished Sodom. During the revolution, there was manifest a state of moral debasement and corruption, similar to that which brought destruction upon the cities of the plain. And the historian presents together the atheism and the licentiousness of France as given in the prophecy, intimately connected with these laws affecting religion, was that which reduced the union of marriage, the most sacred engagement which human beings can form, and the permanence of which leads most strongly to the consolidation of society, to the state of a mere civil contract of a transitory character, which any two persons might engage in and cast loose at pleasure. If fiends had set themselves to work to discover a mode of most effectually destroying whatever is venerable, graceful, or permanent in domestic life, and of obtaining at the same time an assurance that the mischief which it was their object to create should be perpetuated from one generation to another, they could have not invented a more effectual plan than the degradation of marriage. I pause. In 2015, they legislated all of the United States that one can marry the same sex. We see this in the case of 2015, I believe it was in September. We see the United States at that time under President Barack Obama. We see the colors of the rainbow, and they were just parading this licentiousness in the White House. And we see now the next is Sunday observance by law. These two institutions that came out of the Garden of Eden is returning in our society right now. Have mercy. I continue. It says, Sophie Arnold, an actress famous for the witty things she said, described the Republican marriage as the sacrament of adultery. Where also our Lord was crucified, This specification of the prophecy was also fulfilled by France. In no land had the spirit of enmity against Christ been more strikingly displayed. In no country had the truth encountered more bitter and cruel opposition. In the persecution which France had visited upon the confessors of the gospel, she had crucified Christ in the person of his disciples. Century after century, the blood of the saints had been shed. While the Waldenses laid down their lives upon the mountains of Piedmont for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ, similar witnesses to the truth had been borne by their brethren, the Albigenses of France. In the days of the Reformation, its disciples had been put to death with horrible tortures. King and nobles, high-born women and delicate maidens, the pride and chivalry of the nation, had feasted their eyes upon the agonies of the martyrs of Jesus. The brave Huguenots, battling for those rights which the human heart holds most sacred, had poured out their blood on many a hard-fought field. The Protestants were counted as outlaws. A price was set upon their heads, and they were hunted down like wild beasts. I pause. History will be repeated. May we be found ready. Time is coming. They have long.
Just a moment, brothers and sisters. Brother Wilson line dropped, so he will be calling back in. Just a moment. Just keep him in prayer. Amen. Amen.
Amen, amen. As we are waiting for Brother Wilson to come on back, I know sometimes, you know, he's in a place where, as you know, the phone goes off. But we are really blessed in understanding and realizing what France, what they generated and have done with the Bible, and being an atheist country where they had turned their back on God, as did the Egyptian or Pharaoh. And we see the same kind of characteristic as the reading brought out, with the licentiousness of sexuality and all these things. So Brother Wilson is back on. Thank you. Go ahead, Brother Wilson.
Okay, yes. I know the enemy wasn't too pleased, you know?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, I had a set of prayer by God's grace, and I'll continue that the Lord protect this line and also the reception. All right, I continue. Do you hear me clearly? Is there like a noise? Okay, there we go. All right. So it says, the church in the desert, the few descendants of the ancient Christians that still lingered in France in the 18th century, hiding away in the mountains of the south, still cherish the faith of their fathers, praise the Lord. As they ventured to meet by night on mountainside or lonely moor, they were chased by dragoons and dragged away to lifelong slavery in the galleys. The purest, the most refined, and the most intelligent of the French were chained in horrible torture amidst robbers and assassins. Others, more mercifully dealt with, were shot down in cold blood as, unarmed and helpless, they fell upon their knees in prayer. Hundreds of aged men, defenseless women, and innocent children were left dead upon the earth at their place of meeting. In traversing the mountainside or the forest where they had been accustomed to assemble, it was not unusual to find at every four paces dead bodies dotting the sward and corpses hanging suspended from the trees. Their country laid waste with the sword, the axe, the faggot, was converted into one vast, gloomy wilderness. These atrocities were enacted in no dark age, but in the brilliant era of Louis, and I believe this is the 14th. It says, science was then cultivated, letters flourished, the divines of the court and of the capital were learned and eloquent men, and greatly affected the graces of meekness and charity. It says, but blackest in the black catalog of crime, most horrible among the fiendish deeds of all the dreadful centuries, was the Saint Bartholomew Massacre. The world still recalls with shuddering horror the scenes of that most cowardly and cruel onslaught. The King of France, urged by the Romish priests and prelates, lent his sanction to the dreadful work. A bell tolling in dead of the night was a signal for the slaughter. Protestants by thousands sleeping quietly in their homes, trusting to the plighted honor of their king, were dragged forth without a warning and murdered in cold blood. Have mercy. I pause for a second. It says, trusting to the plighted honor of their king. And we see in our days, the president of the United States is like the king. We should not put our faith in a king. We should not put our faith in a ruler. We should only put our faith in the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the righteous. I continue. As Christ was the invisible leader of his people from Egyptian bondage, so was Satan the unseen leader of his subjects in this horrible work of multiplying martyrs. For 7 days, the massacre was continued in Pyrrhus, the first three with inconceivable fury, and it was not confined to the city itself, but by special order of the king was extended to all the provinces and towns where Protestants were found. Neither age nor sect was respected. Neither the innocent babe nor the man of gray hairs was spared. Noble and peasant, old and young, mother and child were cut down together. Oh, Lord, have mercy. Throughout France, the butchery continued for 2 months. 70,000 of the very flower of the nation perished. It says when the news of the massacre reached Rome, the exaltation among the clergy knew no bounds. The Cardinal of Lorraine rewarded the messenger with 1,000 crowns. The Canon of St. Angelo thundered forth a joyous salute. And bells rang out from every steeple. Bonfires turned night into day. And Gregory the 13th, attended by the cardinals and other ecclesiastical dignitaries, went in long procession to the church of St. Louis, where the Cardinal of Lorraine chanted, "A Te Deum." A medal was struck to commemorate the massacre, and in the Vatican may still be seen 3 frescoes of Vasari, describing the attack upon the admiral, the king in council plotting the massacre, and the massacre itself. Gregory sent Charles the Golden Rose, and 4 months after the massacre, he listened complacently to the sermon of a French priest, who spoke of that day so full of happiness and joy. When the Most Holy Father received the news and went in solemn state to render thanks to God and St. Louis Henry White, the massacre of St. Bartholomew, I'm sorry. I read the book and didn't have to read that. I just want to pause right for a second. It says, who spoke of that day so full of happiness and joy. You see the days that we're living in, the days of the past, the days of old, and even in present, God wants us to count it all joy. No matter what befalls us, God wants us to have a spirit of joy, because he says he will bless us Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. We want God. We want to put God to the test. We want to put him first. We want God to be fully taking control of our lives. Because this is not easy. In human strength, we cannot endure this. This takes nothing but the Spirit of God to take control of our lives so that we can endure through these trials, even the small trials right now. I'm going to read just a few more paragraphs, and then I'll close. I continue. It says, the same master spirit that urged on the St. Bartholomew Massacre, also in the scenes of the revolution. Jesus Christ was declared to be an imposter, and the rallying cry of the French infidels was, crush the wretch, meaning Christ. Heaven-daring blasphemy and abominable wickedness went hand in hand. And the bases of men, the most abandoned monsters of cruelty and vice, were most highly exalted. In all this, supreme homage was paid to Satan. While Christ, in his characteristics of truth, purity, and unselfish love, was crucified. I pause. We see here the rules were reversed, calling good evil and evil good. Have mercy. I continue. The beast that ascends out of the bottomless pit shall make war against them and shall overcome them and kill them. The atheistical power that ruled in France during the revolution and the reign of terror did wage such a war against God and his holy word as the world had never witnessed. The worship of the deity was abolished by the National Assembly. Bibles were collected and publicly burned with every possible manifestation of scorn. The law of God was trampled underfoot. The institutions of the Bible were abolished. The weekly rest day was set aside, and in its stead, every tenth day was devoted to reveling and blasphemy. Baptism and the communion were prohibited. An announcement posted conspicuously over the burial places declared death to be an eternal sleep. Stop right here, and we're going to end here, and we're going to pick up next time on page 274 and paragraph 1. But we're going to stop right here, okay? I pray that God has woken us up. He sure has woken me up. And this goes to show that history will be repeated. We see the Bible speak about this. And we need to be ready, found in the arms of our dear Savior, Jesus Christ. I conclude. Sister Carla?
I'm sorry, my line was on mute. Thank you, Brother Wilson. I'll open the line for. Go ahead.
Do you want me to say a word of prayer at all, Sister Carla, or is that okay?
Yes, go ahead. Go ahead.
Okay. Dear Heavenly Father, have mercy on our souls. Lord, what we've read today was really touching to me, and we see how these faithful servants of old, Lord, we are also called to be faithful servants in these last days. And I'm praying even to that we will not have any fear despite what happened in the past and despite what's going on now. Please remove any fear of man, but help us to have the godly fear of the living God, because that fear leads to love for Jesus Christ. So please, Lord, help us to have the right fear and help us to be obedient to every law, every precept. We thank you and we love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Brother Wilson, and I'll open the line for Sister Boyd. She can bring us a closing song before I open the line for Elder Richardson for some closing remarks. Amen. Sister Boyd?
Hello?
Yes.
Hello?
Yes. We can hear you. Yes.
One second.
Okay.
My listing number, asking number one on the email.
Okay.
Praise to the Lord, the Almighty, the King of creation. Oh, my soul, praise Him, for He is thy health and salvation. All you hear, now to His temple draw near. Join in glad adoration. Praise to the Lord, who o'er all things so wondrously reigneth. Shieldeth thee under His wings, yea, so gently sustaineth. Hast thou not seen how thy desires have been granted in what He ordaineth? Praise to the Lord, thus prosper thy work and defend thee. Surely His goodness and mercy here daily attend thee. Ponder anew what the Almighty can do, if with His love He befriend thee. Praise God.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Sister Boy, for that song reminding us that praises is to the Lord, who is so mighty and gracious and such a blessing to us, and He is worthy to be praised and worthy to be honored and worthy to be glorified. Oh, the song that blesses and touch our hearts. Reading of the great controversy, oh Lord, it has been such a blessing. And I know our hearts has been really been blessed by what we were hearing and listening to and reading at the same time. We had all our senses. All our senses was actually in tuned. All right? In the sense that where we were reading, the reading of it, the hearing of it, the understanding of it, and getting the aspect of what the drama, the intent of the experiences that was in the past and how it's going to be repeated. And brethren, I want to encourage us, as we hear these readings, as we come on this great controversy study line, it is time for us each and every day to rededicate our lives to Him. We read that massacre, the Bartholomew massacre, 70,000. That was massacre, children and women and men, everybody. Do you know how many millions died through the hands of the papacy in the dark ages, that 1,260 years, that 3 months and a half? That is the same in with the 1,260, over 50 million, you know. The papacy slaughtered over 50 million. Could you imagine that? And they call themselves Christians? They must be crazy. You don't, as a Christian, do evil to your brother. And this is gonna be repeated, folks. It is coming again. It is coming again. And that's why we must prepare ourselves, prepare our lives each and every day, that our names in the book of heaven can be sealed and be retained, our hearts, our connection, relationship with Jesus. So I want to pray for each and every one of us tonight to rededicate our lives to Him, to the Lord Jesus Christ anew. And to those who are new on the line, want to welcome Lou, my son-in-law, on the line. And I know that his heart has been blessed since I invited him to the controversy study line. He has been on. And I know God is going to do something great and marvelous and wonderful for him. And I know the enemy is doing everything. Satan is doing everything to discourage him. But I know that God will come true for him in every way. So I want to pray. I want each and every one of you, as I pray, I'm going to pray a prayer. And I want you to just lift your hand, one of your hands, just to heaven. And just put one on your heart. Hold one hand on your heart. Put the left hand on your heart. And the right hand holding to God. By faith, indicating that God, we are coming to you with our hearts, our minds, and commitment. And we are reaching out to you, dear God. The Bible said that is God's hand shortened that he cannot reach us? No, is air heavy that he will not hear us? No, God will hear us, and God will bless us, and God will deliver us, and God will heal us, and God will bring blessing and strength to our lives. God will bring the joy and the peace to our souls that we so need of, as we are seeing everywhere and around us. There is trouble, there is pain, there is sadness, there is sickness, there are diseases everywhere where we turn. We are seeing death on every side. Thousands of people that are going down in Christ's grave without the hope of Jesus Christ in their lives. But it may not be so with you and I, as tonight, as we rededicate our lives to the Lord Jesus. So one hand on your heart and the other reaching out as I pray. Father God in heaven, Lord, we have been encouraged by your words of this chapter concerning what was read tonight. Dear God, we know that these things have happened in time past to see the millions that were slaughtered because they stood for righteousness, because they stood for the truth, because they stood for Jesus. Oh God, this is going to be repeated, dear Father. It's called the time of Jacob's trouble. And God, you have established us on this great controversy study, whereby, Lord, we can be reminded of the coming crisis. And God, we want to be right in our relationship with you, Lord. We know our past life, Lord, has not been up to par. We know our past life and our relationship have not been in tune with you, dear God, in full. And so, God, tonight we want to rededicate our lives to you, Jesus, praying for your power and your anointing of your Holy Spirit upon each and every one that are on this study line here tonight, dear God, that your Spirit, dear Father, will speak and touch and bring conviction of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. God, we are praying for the anointing and the power of your Holy Spirit to come in a mighty, powerful way wherever your people are listening, wherever they are in their homes, wherever they are in their cars listening. Jesus, thou Son of the living God, come, Lord, and anoint us. Come and heal us, Holy Spirit of the living God. Forgive us and cleanse us and wash us from all sin, which is a transgression of your law. And, Lord, convict us, Lord, of righteousness, to be holy and righteous like Jesus, to hate the things of the world and the pleasures, dear Father, and of judgment, that our sins be confessed and be repented of, that will go before the judgment, that Jesus, our high priest, will stand before the Father as we come boldly unto your throne of grace to obtain mercy, find help in time of need. And where Jesus can lift his hand to the Father and say, Father, my blood, my blood, my blood is shed for each and every one of us. And as the angels of God are holding the winds of strife that is coming upon this earth, that it will not blow the time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation,
Dear God, we are praying for your Holy Spirit sealing in our hearts and in our lives. And dear God, I'm praying for each and every one. Dear God, you are looking down from heaven in mercy upon those of us that are crying out and reaching out to you, dear God. Our hands are extended to heaven, indicating that our faith, oh God, you said in your words in Hebrews 11:6, that without faith it is impossible to please God. For they that come to God must believe that he is, and that he is, God, a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So, God, tonight I'm praying for deliverance. I'm praying for healing of mind and body and of soul. I'm praying, oh God, for the peace in our hearts that passes all understanding. Lord, we are praying for the anointing and the power of your Holy Spirit to prepare us, dear God, in our souls in relationship with you. I'm praying for families. I'm praying, oh God, for leaders. I'm praying for your ministers. I'm praying, oh God, for the power of the Holy Spirit to anoint us, oh God, and heal us, oh God, and save us, oh God, tonight. Oh, Father, we thank you for your Holy Spirit that is speaking to us now. Jesus, touch our heart. Melt and break this heart of sin and stone and give us a heart of flesh, oh God, that we will love you, that we will serve you all the days from on, from this time henceforth, even unto eternity. And God, you said, as our days are, so will our strength be. Greater is he, the Spirit of God, that is in you, than he, the devil, the demons that are in the world. No weapon that is formed against you, brethren and sisters, shall prosper. 1,000 will fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come nigh to you. May the blessing of God be upon you. May the richness of his grace come in a mighty, powerful experience in your life right now. And God, I am praying for mercies. I am praying for healing. I'm praying for comfort now, God, upon those, oh God, that are reaching out to you. God, answer prayer, their prayers. Spirit of the living God, breathe afresh on each and every one. Let your name be exemplified. Let your name be glorified. Let God, your name be praised. We say hallelujah. Glory to the Father, to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen and amen. Glory.
Amen. 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 Now open Sister Powell's line so she can give us another word of prayer as we close. Amen. Sister Powell, your line is now open.
Okay. All right. You hear me, Sister Powell?
Yes. We can hear you.
Okay. Okay. Let's pray. Father in heaven, this evening, Lord, we have listened to your words. We want to thank you, dear God, that we can join together in this form so that we can listen to your word. Lord, we thank you for the presenter. We thank you for elder that present the prayer to us. And dear Lord, for each one of us who gather, this person, Sister Boyd who sang, Sister Carla who moderate, and all of us who come to join to listen to your word. I do know, dear Lord, that your word this evening touch each and every one of our heart. And we are asking you, Lord, to give us that strength, that we will continue to live your life, live the life that you want us to live, and to be willing and obedient, because we know that history repeated itself. Things that we have heard, dear God, 70,000 people killed. We have heard, dear God, that babies, we saw here, dear Father, hold gray hair pin people, Lord, the elderly, they were killed. We have seen, we have heard, dear Lord, all these things happened, and even the Bible was burned, dear God. And now we look upon what is happening now in our time. We saw, dear God, that they do not want no Bible to be read. They want no communion, no baptism. And all these things are showing us that we are near and nearer than we think. But I know, dear God, that you promise us that you will be with us even to the end of time. You told us in your word that you will cut the days short, and the days will be shortened because of the very elect's sake. So we just want to thank you for these comforting promises that you have given unto us, and help us that we will continue to trust you and to believe in your word and to follow your will, because you came into this earth and we saw you demonstrate true love, true faith in you, and you did all that you came to do. And right now we know that victory, become you are God, victory over everything, and you are in the most holy sanctuary now, preparing, Lord, for this final ministerial work that you have been doing there. And we know one day soon and very soon that book will be closed. Father, please allow each one of us who here tonight that our names will be into that book of life. Prepare us, keep us, guide us, and protect us, and help us to continue to study this great book, and that we can share it with others so that others can know things that happened before it repeats itself in history, and that you are there on the throne and you promise you will keep us unto the end. Thank you for hearing. Thank you for answering our prayer. Help us that we have a blessed night's sleep, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
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 Amen. Yes, amen. Thank you, Sister Powell, and for the last prayer. Again, thank you, brothers and sisters, for joining us on a great controversy study. Continue to study, continue to pray, continue to fast and afflict your soul so that the Lord can help us. He can heal our brokenness, and he can bless our family and bring those that are separated back together. Amen. Please join us tomorrow, Wednesday's the medical missionary on the youth prayer line, and then we will announce, and we will announce on the WhatsApp for Wednesday for the prayer event. Elder, I'll open your line. Elder Richardson, on Wednesday evening, will you be having
yes.
a meeting?
Amen. Yes, Wednesday evening we are going to have tuning on this same line that we are using. We will be using this line for all our various services. So yes, this Wednesday, 6:30. We'll go from 6:30, 7:30, I would say. We'll post it on the WhatsApp, and we'll send out via text mm-hmm. message to confirm the time. So please keep this in mind, by the grace of God, and Sabbath evening. Also, we're going to continue our study on the time of trouble from 2 to 4 p.m. Central Time, and from 3 to 5 Eastern Time. And Sister Carla, you can announce the other Advent Life
yes.
Ministry.
Yes, amen. Thank you, Elder. Yes, brothers and sisters, and please join us also Thursday, Reform Thursday, and also Friday. We'll be on bringing in the Sabbath and with a message, and please bring your testimonies at those times, Thursday, Friday, and also on Wednesday. You know, I pray that all will be able to join us at some time, because I know we all have jobs and we're busy, but maybe Lord help us to come together in unifying strength in prayer and thanksgiving to the Lord. Jesus, love you, brothers and sisters. Please have a blessed night. Amen. Thank you.